Two basketball mothers who endured the shock of their sons collapsing on the court have very different stories to tell. One son survived, the other did not. But Wilma Bates and Jewel Upshaw knew each other long before their lives became linked in such a tragic way. They've teamed up with the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation to promote greater access to and expanded training for defibrillator use in schools, particularly at sporting events. Upshaw talks with GLT's Eric Stock about the night in March when her son, former Illinois State basketball player Zeke Upshaw, collapsed on the court in an NBA G League game in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He died 2 days later.
The number one thought is that he should be here today. I shouldn't be on the phone having this conversation because he should be here. If anyone would have acted, I believe in my heart that they could have saved him, but they didn't.
What do you believe was lacking? What might have potentially made the difference?
A sense of urgency, a sense of, action. It was lack of action that there was. Everyone seemed like they were shocked or something. It just wasn't, there's no movement, there's no sense of urgency. I mean, they did move and do things, but it was just too late.
Were there trained professionals on hand to address this? Were they staffed properly, in your view, or not even that?
They appeared to be. They appeared to be staffed properly, but when the doctor told me that he left the arena, I think that but there was apparently, I'm not sure, 100% sure, but there was trainers there and an assistant. Even if they didn't know what was going on, I just think that there should always be. You should always spring into action right away. They brought out the defibrillator but didn't use it.
They never used the defibrillator?
Not that I could see. And what? Well, yeah, and then no one ever told me that they used it. And looking at the recording, they had it, but it was lying next to him, not being used on him.
So you were there as this was unfolding?
No, I was not there. Okay. I was actually watching on Facebook Live.
I can only imagine what's going through your mind as you're seeing this unfold.
Hysteria. I was hysterical. It's almost as if I was there because I saw him. I saw him fall. I saw all the comments they were saying about him on the feed, and then eventually they took the camera off of him, but the feed still, the comments were still scrolling. Oh, and then at a point I had to stop looking because my phone started to ring.
And people wanted to make sure that you were aware, I imagine, and of course you already were painfully aware.
I was. I got the call first from his girlfriend, fiance, and she said, you know, did you see what happened? And I said, yes, I did, Julia, I saw it. She was watching too. We watch every game that way if we weren't there in the arena. We watched every game that they broadcasted, I should say, on the live feed.
Do you feel that there's any one thing that might have potentially made the difference? You talked about there was a defibrillator there, wasn't used, or at least not that was apparent. Anything further from medical staff or the team or anything like that that you felt might have potentially kept Zeke alive?
Yes, CPR. CPR, flip them over, perform CPR, and get the heart to to start, or the blood to flowing and use the AED machine. I'm not a doctor, but I see it. I've seen it. I am aware of what can happen, the outcome when it's done. There's so many survival stories, and there's some that didn't make it. But being in an arena full of people, there's just no excuse, none whatsoever.
Jewel Upshaw, joining us from Las Vegas, sharing her story about Zeke Upshaw's passing back in March at a NBA G League game in Grand Rapids, Michigan. As we continue on Sound Ideas, we're joined by Wilma Bates, another mom of a basketball player who had a similar story, but in this case, it does have a happier ending. Wilma joining us in studio. Wilma and husband Richard are parents of Kai Bates Diop, who was 16 when he collapsed to the basketball court during a practice his junior year at University High in February of last year. In this incident, two athletic trainers who were there took the defibrillator they had on site and were able to resuscitate him. Now, Wilma, if you could take us back to that time, what you were aware of as it was unfolding, and how these trainers were able to revive your son.
I was actually coming from being out of town, so I got the call from Kai's coach that he had collapsed, and his words to me were, it didn't look good, and if I could get to the school. I was about 2 hours away, just on the other side of Indianapolis, so there was no way I could get there, but I just said, I'm sure you guys have called 911, and I'll let his dad know, who was in town. He wasn't traveling for work that day, just to meet you at, either at the hospital or at the school, wherever he needed to go.
I take it at that point, you had no idea or any indication that Kai had anything irregular about his heart or anything like that that would make him susceptible for something like this?
No. You know, when his coach told me that he had collapsed, my first thought was he probably had fainted. I didn't realize he was actually totally unconscious, not breathing, and no pulse. So not having any sort of warning signs, you know, you don't automatically draw that conclusion that your child is going into cardiac arrest just because he's collapsed. But as it turned out, he was in full cardiac arrest when he went down.
The trainers, if you could explain how the effort that they took to ultimately save him.
He was at a basketball practice, so the fact that he's at University High School, which is the lab school here on ISU's campus, they have grad students that, as part of their curriculum and getting their practicum hours in, they are assigned to a school to finish out the training and finish up their classes. So part of that particular day, they had two athletic trainers in the building for basketball practice. And when Kai collapsed, a teammate said, you know, Kai's down. He ran and got the trainer from the athletic training office, which is just adjacent to the main gym. And the other trainer came from the opposite direction, and one started CPR while the other instinctively, or I'm not sure if that's just protocol, grabbed the AED. When someone goes down, they just tend to grab it. I learned that after the fact. But the one trainer started chest compressions, and the other one got the AED, and they went into motion.
You've had conversations with them afterwards, I gather.
Absolutely.
What was that like?
You know, a lot of times we're trained to do things. It doesn't mean that we're going to be able to perform them in a moment of crisis. They kept their heads. They did what they needed to do. The one trainer, Maddie Beal, took the lead, and she kind of gave instructions to Emily. It was Maddie Beal and Emily Martz, and they did what they were trained to do, but they did it with cool heads. They did it knowing what needed to happen in the very short timeline that something has to happen to give someone a chance to live. So between the chest compressions and the AED, they did everything they needed to do in a timely and efficient manner.
If they weren't there, and if the defibrillator wasn't there, and that's a more recent phenomenon that they are in all schools now, what may have happened?
Kai probably would not have survived. You know, precious seconds count when someone goes into cardiac arrest. And whether or not you know someone is in cardiac arrest, you're not going to hurt them by performing CPR or using the AED, because the AED will not administer a shock if that person does not need it. So the fact that Kai was completely out with no pulse and he was not breathing, it was clear that they needed to do something very quickly to give him a chance to live. And without the two of them combined, I don't know that we would have had the outcome that we did. And Kai is alive, and he's here, and he's in good health.
A year and a half later, he's, as you said, recovered from this, but not playing basketball anymore as a junior in high school, and one who certainly had college aspirations and college potential to play basketball. How is he handling that now?
Well, he started his senior year, so this actually happened his sophomore year. So he didn't finish out the season as a sophomore, didn't play at all last year. But, you know, Kai is here, and he's able to make other choices. He's able to live. He's able to be around the game and have a life that is fulfilling to him and others around him as an inspiration. And so he has made that adjustment that he's not playing basketball, but that he's able to be here and live a worthwhile life and inspire others.
And we should mention, too, his older brother, Kata Bates Diop, is preparing for his first season in the NBA after being drafted a couple of months ago.
He is. And as siblings, they have a great relationship. When Kai was in the hospital, Kata came in and talked to Kai and told him at some point the ball will stop for everyone. And maybe for him, that was his time for the ball to stop. But I think having that perspective that you can live without basketball, because at some point it's over for everyone in whatever sport they're attached to. I think at that moment it was really what Kai needed to hear, that he was not defined just as a basketball player.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Jewel Upshaw and Wilma Bates, both sharing their stories about their sons who had medical problems that we saw play out very differently on the basketball court. And I want to bring in Kathy Franklin, who is the executive director of the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation in Normal. And Kathy, as we talk about these defibrillators and the life-saving machines and devices that they are, as they become more and more prevalent in schools, the concern is, how do people use them? How do people get the training to use them? Where are we in that spectrum where you feel confident that if there is another incident like Kai on the basketball court or Zeke, that someone will be able to rescue them?
Well, I would say locally we are more advanced than a lot of communities, partly because of Kai. I mean, he continues to save lives just by being who he is and talking. He's been a young man that has become very eloquent in his talking to others. And we can have AEDs throughout the community, and it's shockingly simple to save someone with an AED, but only if you know where it's at. So part of our education is not only placing AEDs, which we just donated 10 to high schools. When that first came, where the high schools were mandated to have AEDs, it was an unfunded mandate. So a lot of high schools need another AED. And so we are working with the high schools. University High School obviously has had the perfect storm for good, and they knew what to do. And I think our other schools have been very aware, but yet it's heightened their awareness. But we need to make sure people are educated. People are not afraid, because bystander intervention is a key to saving a life.
Wilma and Jewel, as it turns out, already knew each other before we heard about their stories, and I can only imagine that both having to go through incidents like this, it has strengthened the bond between the families and also your desire to help others.
How Jewel and I met each other was when Zeke was a player here at ISU. So, you know, he's a Redbird. He's a community member. He's one of our own. And sometimes as student athletes, they're not able to go home. And so we open up our home for them to, for student athletes to come over for dinner. And that's how Jewel and I met. And, you know, we just immediately connected. Whatever it was, we just connected. We saw each other a few years after that traveling through an airport. I don't even remember what city we were in. Mm-hmm. But we just connected, and it was good to see each other. So when we heard of Zeke's passing, my immediate thought was I needed to reach out once again and hug and just reconnect with her again. So for us to make a difference, to give any person a chance, whether it's a student athlete or a grandparent, a friend, whatever, when we found out that there are not always AEDs around, that really impacted us because we know what the outcome could have been for Kai were it not for an AED. So we've been able to raise funds, and donations have come in that as a family, we've already given out 7 AEDs since Kai's collapse. And so it's sometimes it is a matter of cost, but it could just be a matter of we just didn't realize we needed more than one in the space that we have.
And Jewel, I want to get your perspective on this too, because you were a Redbird parent when Zeke was playing here at Illinois State, and you came to know Wilma and their family. Take me through that and how your relationship has further strengthened here in the past few months and years.
It's very important to me, and it's always been that way because that woman, her family would, like he said, have Zeke over for, and he enjoyed himself immensely over there, eating all that good food, and because one thing about Zeke, he loved home cooked meals, and he would go over there and he would get those there, and I was so grateful, and to this day I still am, and I will always be forever grateful for that, but I am with Wilma on the action and awareness. This July, Las Vegas had over 1,000 teams, and I went to some of the games because they have the AAU tournaments here. And so what I want to do is, you know, start that initiative here. I would go to a gym and I would look for an AED, and I didn't see them a lot of times, and then sometimes I did. So they're really sometimes are not even visible. They're put up in a room somewhere, locked up or whatever the case. So I know it's an initiative that, I mean, I can't tackle alone, but with Wilma and what you guys are doing over there, I plan to jump on board and do whatever I need to do within my power to help educate. I'm also planning to take classes myself, CPR. Classes here in the fall, so that I can also, if in the event, unfortunate event, that I'm around someone that this happens to, that I can spring into action, because I don't ever want that to happen to anyone if I'm able to do something. And like everyone's saying, that it can't hurt. So maybe it's a training issue. Maybe people need to be go through training again. I don't know what needs to happen, but if I have anything to do with it, my voice will be heard along with Wilma and others that are in similar situations.
Jewel Upshaw, Wilma Bates, and Kathy Franklin speaking with GLT's Eric Stock. Jewel Upshaw has sued the NBA, the Detroit Pistons, and the Deltaplex Arena, accusing them of negligence in her son's death. The Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation hopes to work with the Illinois High School Association to establish protocols for where defibrillators are located and for schools to make that information readily available in case of an emergency.